had some land and sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. Nothing said of hypocrisy with him, as you would see in the next following verses of Ananias and Sapphira. But we see there that he was a man that was, by interpretation, his name means son of consolation. That's important. Move on with me to chapter 9. A man of exhortation. I believe you'll find that not only in his name, but in his life. Because in chapter 9, do you remember when you see him once again? This one Saul of Tarsus had been saved. We see he had just been confronted by the Lord on the road to Damascus, and we see how later the man Ananias had spoke to him, and we see that he had turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the people of God were afraid of him. They knew him as a man that had been killing the Christians, a man that had not been serving the Lord Jesus Christ, but a man who had been killing the believers and persecuting them. And we turn in 9 to verse, let's start at 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him. Here's the man of exhortation. Here's the man that takes this one Saul of Tarsus under his wing, if you will, encourages him along and connects him with the saints. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with him coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So we see here this man, Barnabas, the first one to really take Saul along his side and brings him and introduces him to the saints. You know, when we think about a man of exhortation, sometimes when you're studying the Word of God, I'm sure you've run across this yourself in your own studies, we'll see something that is in the Word of God, and we see that it's there, and we'll see that maybe we know someone around us that maybe that exemplifies them, but you think, well, that's really not a strong point for me. And exhortation, I would say, is probably not one of my strong points. But, you know, just like in all gifts that the Lord gives people, and we'll look at that in just a moment, that this is also a gift that the Lord gives his people. Even though not everyone is an evangelist, or everyone's an exhorter, or everyone's a teacher, what have you, a helper, a giver, it's interesting that we're exhorted by the Word of God to participate in all of these areas, even though that may not be my primary gift or my primary strong point is spiritual ability. So when we see a man like Barnabas, we can see a great example. Something that seems to flow from him, a man that is there as an exhorter. May not be your, or I know maybe not my strong point, but we see it's something we should endeavor to do. Let's look at further examples of Barnabas. We see in chapter 13, we see Barnabas, and we're kind of skipping ahead of our text a little bit, but we see him in Antioch. He was one of the five prophets and teachers that were there at Antioch, and as they were praying, and of course in verse 2, they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So we see them moving out into the missionary work. Just to mention a little of his, as we're going through and seeing his background, that'll bring us on into the missionary journey. We see Barnabas once again, now in chapter 15. And in chapter 15, this is a little unique angle, if you want to tie it in with exhortation, but I believe it's interesting. In chapter 15 and 2, we see Paul and Barnabas were there with this contention, this situation of doctrine that had come up, and they were trying to help solve the problem, some of them went to Jerusalem and tried to solve the problem. We won't get into that, as we'll have time to do that, Lord willing, at another point. But after they had work through this situation, it's interesting to look back and say, who did they send? They sent a man strong in the Word, a man as a teacher, you might say, is the Apostle Paul, but he sends with him a partner in the faith, Barnabas. It's good to have a man such as Barnabas along with you, isn't it? Someone that is a fine brother in the Lord, but yet also a man called the Son of Consolation. When you have a time of potential contention, it's good sometimes to have someone that is a brother that is a brother that seeks peace. Doesn't bend on the truth, but seeks peace. Perhaps this was the type of man Barnabas was. Paul and Barnabas looked to help in this doctrinal problem. Well, you move on to the end of chapter 15, and here is another slightly different way of looking at a man of exhortation, but I kind of look through and kind of read between the lines maybe, but just think with me on this. In chapter 15 and 36, it says, "In some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." You see, they had already completed their first journey. They were setting out on their second missionary journey. And this is what they had discussed. Let's go back. Let's see how they're doing. But note, a contention comes between these two godly men of Paul and Barnabas. Verse 37, "And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and were not with them to the work." So if we were to back up and look back in chapter 13 and read on through 13 and 14, you'll notice that at one point they had this brother with them, and Mark had bailed out, if you will, and he had left the first journey, and Paul was saying, we can't take him again. We can't do it. Barnabas was determined to do it, and we see that they end up going separate ways, both taking someone along with them and looking to serve the Lord. And it's good to note later that Paul will refer to Mark at a later point. But we see here is a man, Paul, saying, now wait a minute. He didn't stay with us. Let's not take him. Let's choose not to do that. But here's the Son of Consolation. In my mind, it's like here's a man of exhortation saying, well, let's give him another chance. And it was so important to him, to both of the brethren apparently, that they held their ground and went two different ways. And we see this man, Barnabas, for whatever reason, was looking to encourage John Mark and to continue using him in the work. Well, anyway, having looked at Barnabas, and these are the examples of this Son of Consolation, Barnabas, this one of exhortation, let's look at other instances of exhortation in the New Testament, not just Barnabas. Let's look at what this word exhortation means. Turn, if you will, to Romans. And chapter 12, and this is a tie-in to why I was talking earlier about various gifts, one of them being exhortation. In Romans 12, we find, of course, it's in 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12, 2:4 and 2:12 are where you find the main discussions on spiritual gifts. And just briefly, Romans 12, and drop down to verse 6, as it mentions some of the gifts. You'll come down to verse 8, you'll find exhortation. It's in breaking in here. Verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then, verse 8 says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. We're to note that is one of the gifts the Lord gives, exhortation. What is exhortation? Perhaps encouragement. We'll find words translated from the same word, exhortation, consolation, comfort. We find these words used in the New Testament. It's interesting that the same word comes, paracletus. It's very similar. It's a word coming from the word paraclete, where we find comforter, meaning the Spirit of God. Remember in the upper room ministry, John chapters 14 and 16 are two places in the midst of that upper room ministry when the Lord was speaking to his disciples there as he was also close to the cross and he was giving them instructions and he said, I will not leave you comfortless. He was speaking of how I must go that the Spirit of God will come. And that is the Paraclete, the Comforter. Well, this is a word derived from that, where we find comfort, consolation, exhortation. So as a background, we think of the Spirit of God, which brings us comfort. It says, you can translate that in John, as he said he would not leave us orphans as orphans. He would not leave us parentless. But the Spirit of God would come. And of course we see that happened as in Acts 2 we've already seen. It followed his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. The Spirit of God did come. Well, while you're in Romans, this time just move a couple chapters on to chapter 15. And we'll see that word consolation again. Was in the King James is the word comfort. And in Romans 15 and 4 it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort or consolation of the Scriptures might have hope. So we see there the mention of the Scriptures tying in with our exhortation or our comfort.
Thank you for being with us once again. We'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow at 1 o'clock. This is Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.